Listen and earn to the Profit Express with your host, Tim Healy. For over a decade, Tim has helped the Long Island business community create sales systems through sales system development, training, and coaching. Tim is also the president and owner of Healy Success Solutions. Get ready as we create big-time profits for your business today. Now, here's your host, Tim Healy.
Well, hello and welcome to the Profit Express. I am Tim Healy. And you're invited to join me each and every week as we tackle the hottest stories, topics, and trends facing you. That's right. Today's entrepreneur, today's small business owner. We do it right here on the Profit Express. And thank you for being on board and listening today. If you happen to be on Facebook, you can follow the show at the Profit Express page. Let us know what you think of today's show. Shows, guests you'd love to hear on the show. We'll work at getting them on for you. Give us the likes, a thumbs up, maybe a thumbs down. Who knows? Whatever. Just tell us what you're feeling. Tell us what you're thinking. Love to hear from you. And of course, if you're on Twitter, you can follow me and the show at Radio Tim Healy. That's at Radio Tim Healy. Now, for today's bottom line benefit, which will be on at 6:45, you can hear Bill Corbett, president of Corbett Public Relations, which you all know, it's a media relations, social media, and personal branding consulting firm. And today, Bill and I are going to discuss the importance of the marketing message of the presidential candidates. And of course, it's timely. Yesterday was the primary here in New York. And we're going to talk about how they use focus groups, polls, the message, the tone, who's the audience, and how it all translates into votes, and what we can learn as business owners, and what you can learn, and how it can help translate into business for you by using some of the tips and techniques and tricks of the politicians. So don't go anywhere. You want to keep it tuned to hear the bottom line benefit with Bill Corbett later on. So, are you excited to go to work tomorrow morning? Yeah, I'm asking you. That's right. Are you excited to be going to work tomorrow morning? No, really, stop laughing. It's a serious question. Now, if you aren't excited about your job, you unfortunately are in good company because 7 out of 10 employees in America are disengaged at work. That's right. So 70% of Americans are disengaged between the hours of 9 to 5. That's an alarming, sad statistic, actually. 70% of the workforce. And did you know that in June of 2013, the Gallup organization released their results of the updated workplace survey, which focused on employee engagement? And the survey revealed that only 30% of U.S. workers identified themselves as engaged. Only 30%. So what about the other 70%? Well, that's the percentage of the workforce that said they felt disengaged, with 18% of that 70 actually identifying themselves as actively disengaged. So, in other words, the 18%, those are the people who are completely just checked out. You know, they're just collecting a paycheck, basically. So, research is showing that disengagement is costing corporate America $500 billion annually in lost productivity, and is most likely costing you and your company. So, we're talking about, you know, engagement. How do we define it? Well, let's look at it in three different levels. There's the highly engaged worker, and those are the folks that produce more in less time, they contribute to the bottom line, they're loyal, and they tend to stay with companies longer. And again, that's about 30% of the workforce, unfortunately. The disengaged employee, they get little satisfaction out of their work, and they're not loyal to the organization. And then, of course, you have the actively disengaged worker, and they're very difficult to turn around. In all likelihood, they've burned too many bridges to ever be successful at their current job. And again, that's 18% of those 70%. So hey, as you're hearing this, how would you rate yourself? What kind of a worker are you? Are you highly engaged? Are you disengaged? Are you actively disengaged? So nearly 1 in 5 workers have checked out, and they really could probably care less about their job. They're just, you know, collecting that paycheck. So what can be done? Well, if you're a manager and you're listening, or you're an employee, you're going to want to stay tuned, because this is a topic that absolutely has got to be explored here on the Profit Express. And I thought, who better to bring on, okay, than an engagement evangelist? I just love the title, first of all. And she is none other than Ruth Ross, who took her 30 years of corporate experience as an HR executive at a host of numerous Fortune 100 companies, And then she ended up becoming the, as I just mentioned, the engagement evangelist. She's an author and she's a sought-after speaker. And she's written her new book, which is called Coming Alive, The Journey to Reengage Your Life and Career, which explores the what's really an epidemic of employee disengagement in corporate America. So it's a pleasure to welcome aboard the Profit Express, Ruth Ross, as we tackle the corporate disease of disengagement that really nobody's talking about. So Ruth, it's a pleasure to have you on board today.
Thanks, Tim. I appreciate the invite.
Absolutely. So, you know, it's funny. 70% of people are disengaged. It almost seems like too big of a statistic for people to almost grasp. And it's just amazing that it all kind of came about as a result of that Wells Fargo workplace survey in 2010. And it was funny because, you know, I'm sorry, not the Wells Fargo, I'm sorry. That was the Gallup Organization survey in 2010. Interestingly, one of the first things I want to share with the audience, in 2010, you were working with Wells Fargo.
I was, and we did the Gallup survey of our employees every year, the Gallup Q12.
And it was funny because you had your own moment of workplace disengagement as you found yourself one morning yelling at the mirror. What happened? What was that moment like for you?
You know, I think we all sort of get up every day and we kind of put one foot in front of the other, right? And
right.
We just keep going. And it was just, it had been crazy. If you think about it, you know, 2008 was the financial crisis.
Yep.
And all the things that have still continued on to this day. I was working as the head of HR for the finance organization, so clearly was in the middle of all that stuff. We had acquired Wachovia, and whatever it was, that fall of 2010, that day, I was getting ready to go to work, kind of looking in the mirror to comb my hair, put on my makeup, and I just literally started screaming to my reflection in the mirror and said, you know, when the heck are you going to admit that you are completely dead inside and have lost the passion for what you've done for all these years? Now, I can't tell you why it kind of happened that day, but looking back, I probably felt that way for at least a year before it sort of came out in the mirror. So I had a great one-way conversation.
So it was brewing for about a year. And
I would say about a year.
About a year. Then something happened, exactly what, you're not sure, but it was that one morning, and the light went off as a trigger moment for you of some sort. And what then, so you go from that moment, what path did you take from that moment in corporate America? Again, you were, you know, in the upper ranks of HR as an HR executive for, you know, Fortune 100 companies, some huge names. What took you from that to being an evangelist of engagement and an author and a speaker?
So sure, so really what happens when someone kind of has that moment and that disengaging kind of aha, there are really three things that happen. The first is that sometimes you just admit, it's that act of actually calling it out loud, but maybe you can't leave what you're doing. You don't have a kind of rainy day walk away fund.
Yeah,
you really
yeah.
need the money, you need the benefits. And that's a large percentage of the population that's disengaged. But sometimes just that actual act of saying, I've got to at least admit it and know what I'm dealing with. Or the second thing might happen, maybe you're feeling comfortable enough now that you've recognized it to go talk to someone, possibly your manager or someone in HR, a trusted colleague. Because at times, just what I call job sculpting, which is a simple tweak that maybe if you could work on a new project, or I was in HR, maybe if I could go support a different client group, learn a new business. Sometimes you don't have to make big wholesale changes.
Mm-hmm.
Sculpt and reignite that spark. Or the third thing that happens, which is really what happened with me, was you get to that point where you say, you know, I really think a wholesale change is in order. And when my husband came home that night and I shared with him my epiphany moment, and I said, you know, I think I really need to walk away.
Mm.
Now, that doesn't mean I just got up the next day and said, I quit.
Sure, sure.
But that wouldn't be smart. And so what I encourage people to do is to be strategic and thoughtful and planful and really think about kind of what are you passionate about and also what your deal breakers are, and then start working towards that.
Now, when you say deal breakers, what do you mean by deal breakers?
Oh, mine were really simple. When I took a piece of paper, I literally went old school. I took out a white blank sheet of paper. I drew a line down the middle, and on the left side, I started to think about those things I really wanted to do.
Sure.
I wanted to do something more creative. I wanted to write. I wanted to be able to speak full time and really impact people. The deal breaker for me was that I didn't want to work for someone else again. Because part of what I identified as some of my disengaging moments or triggers, if you will, were I had had a series of bully bosses along the way.
Mm.
And I just said, this isn't what I need anymore. I need to be empowered. I need to run my own business. So that was my particular deal breaker. And then it took me about 10 months before the stars kind of aligned, if you will.
Okay.
For me to know that this was really the right thing, and there were a bunch of reorganizations and other things that happened, and I was able to really set my team up for success so that all 14 of them would stay, have good jobs in the Go Forward organization, and I felt really comfortable the time was right. So it was really 10 months from face in the mirror to leaving.
I mean, that is a big moment for anybody. I mean, think about it. You had a career of 30 years in typical corporate America, you know, in the VP level, director level, in various organizations, big, big organizations, and you walk away from that. And not only do you walk away from it, but you also say, you know, part of your deal breaker, which is important for people to identify, I don't want to work for anybody else. That's not easy.
It's not easy, and you really have to think about it. And you have to look at what's deep inside of that. You know, what was causing that? And I could have just gone and gotten another job. I was an executive vice president of a well-known company. I had all the credibility in the world from having a good, strong background. But I didn't look in the mirror just once after that happened, right? I really took deep, long looks and had significant conversations with people that were close to me to really understand what was going on with me. And frankly, I had what not everybody does. I had the safety net.
Right.
I had worked a long time, had money put away.
Mm-hmm.
I was, you know, so I think the stars, as I said, the stars aligned for me that I knew I could do that. And so that made the decision just a little bit easier.
Of course. So then, we talked about earlier the Gallup Workplace Survey back in 2013 that really it brought the topic to light. But why are so few people talking about, you know, as you say in the book, you know, a corporate disease, disengagement that affects 7 out of 10 employees? Why isn't it a bigger topic?
Yeah, I call it the silent disease. You know, it worms its way through, and sometimes you don't know that it's happening because when you think about a work group, maybe you manage or an organization you see, a lot of times the people that are not feeling completely engaged are actually smiling on the outside while they're crying on the inside.
Yes.
So you don't see it, right? We put on this face.
Sure, of course.
And so unless you're really having conversations and really understanding that there's something going on, you can't see it. You can't taste it. So I talk about things like warning signs. I try and educate managers on what to look for so that you can see this, because on the surface, people have literally quit but stayed in their chairs in the workplace.
Well, and then, Ruth, you bring up something very interesting. And if you're just tuning into the Profit Express, today's guest, not just is she an author and a speaker, she is a disengagement or an engagement evangelist. I love the title, by the way. Is Ruth Ross and her new book, Coming Alive, The Journey to Reengage Your Life and Career. And listen, if you're tuning in and you're not engaged at work, well, you're in unfortunately good company, because 7 out of 10 employees in America consider themselves disengaged. So we talked about your experience. And, you know, you did it the smart way. You had a cushion. You had a financial safety net, which certainly helped make the decision. You took a year. You really kind of basically you really thought things through. Now, for the manager who's listening, for this the small business owner who's listening, how do they identify the employee? Like you said, it's silent. They're smiling on the outside because people want to protect their jobs. So how can you identify an employee who has become disengaged?
Well, I think this is almost a kind of a two-part question for me.
Mm-hmm.
So the first is that I would say that the one thing that every manager needs to do, or an owner of a business, is take the time to actually look in the mirror themselves first,
mm-hmm.
because you really have to understand where you are on this. Truthfully, a dead battery can't charge another.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a manager and you're disengaged yourself, it's going to be really difficult to engage your organization. So the first thing I want you to do is really take a long look at yourself. And I actually have in my book, I have these two sort of questionnaires. I call them the Invisibility Index. One is for a manager that they can use on an employee, but the other is actually a self-assessment. 20 questions. It takes you 10 minutes. But really kind of see where your gas tank is. So part one is really look at yourself first. Then when you've done that and you want to sort of look out on your organization, and especially to your small business owners that are on the call today,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you have a few people, you can't afford to have even one of those people disengaged.
Sure.
So I call it the 7 warning signs. Now, if you think about when we're driving a car, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but sometimes when that sort of red or yellow warning light goes on,
mm-hmm.
I freak out, right? I'm like, well, I got to pull over. I got to figure out what the flashing light is. And sometimes
right.
I'll go to the little handbook, right, in the glove compartment
right.
and try and figure it out. So the warning signs that flash, if you know what to look for in the workplace, are things like people that start to come in later, or leave earlier, take longer lunches, or spending less time in the workplace. There's declining productivity. They're not as creative or innovative as they once were. They're more prone to mood swings and irritability. They isolate themselves from others. I used to be famous. Now that I look back and can reflect on my disengagement,
right.
I started moving from the front of the room during meetings to the back of the room.
Wow.
Sitting in a chair with my arms folded, not participating. When I used to always be someone to offer things up in meeting. And maybe you don't engage in hallway conversations or don't go out to lunch. You know, you're really isolating yourself, right? That invisibility kind of piece. So low energy. These are all things that if you know what to look for,
mm-hmm.
you can really see them like the yellow flashing lights on a dashboard.
Well, it's. I love the analogy, the check engine light. You know, we all kind of, and it's funny, it happened to me not too long ago in my own car. So, you know, we all had that panic. So for sure, I know what you're saying. Now, you recognize your own signs. You know, hey, I went from the front of the room during a meeting to the back room, arms crossed. But awareness is key in business. It's key in so many aspects of what we do. So it's really incumbent upon managers to open up their eyes to see these signs, because they're not too hard to identify if you're looking for them.
It's what, yeah, exactly. I am a true believer that the secret to all of this, because it's not rocket science, is getting back to the lost art of connecting.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing that a manager can do is connect with their employees on a personal level. So I advocate something I refer to as my Alive Treatment Plan,
mm-hmm.
which really is, it's got its roots in a stay conversation. It's about asking an employee to meet with you. I like to recommend twice a year, right? If you think about preventative medicine
mm-hmm.
for this disease, it's not a performance review. It's not a conversation to go over a task list. Those are saved for other times. There's a time and a place for that. This is really about a conversation where you sit down, maybe do it over lunch or a cup of coffee, right? Or sit in your office, but really be focused on each other and ask. So it starts with the A for ask. Ask the right question to get out, how are you feeling about work? You know, what makes you sick at the thought of getting up and going to work? Or conversely, what are you excited about doing? And then I want you to listen, not just to what I say back to the manager, but also what I'm not saying, because sometimes those nonverbal cues can be just as important, right, than what you're verbally saying. And then the third step is after the conversation, maybe a day or two later, the manager really thinks back on the conversation, maybe looks at some notes, and comes up with 2 to 3 reaction steps that they've identified that they could offer up as a re-engagement tool. The fourth step out of the 5 is to get back together, the manager and the employee, I say preferably that same week while everything is still really fresh, and do two important things. First, they should thank the employee for the conversation, because we don't do enough to appreciate and thank people. And the second is then to say, here are a couple of ideas I have. What do you think? Are these the right things that can either alleviate a problem or something that I know you were really excited to work on? You come to agreement, and the fifth step is simply executing on the plan. ALIVE doesn't cost anything, works wonders.
You know what's funny? And again, folks, it's the Profit Express right here on 88.7 FM WRHU. Today's guest, we have Ruth Ross. She is an author. She is an engagement evangelist. And we're talking about this silent disease that's plaguing corporate America. It's called disengagement. It costs corporate America. It's costing you listening. It's costing your people $500 billion annually. And Ruth's new book is Coming Alive, The Journey to Reengage Your Life and Your Career. Now, even just think about this, Ruth. Despite the fact of, you know, lack of productivity, $500 billion in lost revenues from productivity, lack of productivity. Think about it from the human being side of the employee or the manager even. Well, you all know we spend the majority of our time at work. And how sad is it really? You know, I talked about it in the intro. You know, are you excited to be going to work tomorrow? And you know how many people were probably rolling their eyes as they heard me say that? And that's just really unfortunate. It's really, you know, that's part of why, you know, having you on today, that's one of the things that really gnaws at me, that 70% of Americans just, they're not happy, they're disengaged.
Well, I'm going to make it even worse, I think, a little bit, in terms of the sadness factor. But let me share something with you that I think will be important for your listeners. Yes, we spend an enormous amount of time at work, right? So no one wants to go in and just sort of hate what they do. Well, the sad thing is you can't compartmentalize your life. So what happens at home affects you at work and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So it really can carry over. That's incredibly sad. So if you're dealing, let's say you're dealing with stresses around maybe financial issues or a relationship or childcare, when you get dressed in the morning to get ready to go into work, that stress gets dressed with you and goes to the office. When I was at work and I was dealing, let's say, with a bully boss who, you know, in certain days could make my life miserable, there was no way that that wasn't going home with me that night. So it affected my spouse.
Yeah, you know, that's a very good point. Like you said, it goes beyond the four walls of the office and goes beyond 9 to 5. And unfortunately, you don't have a choice, but it's coming home with you.
Unless you can really be clear and intentional about how you're feeling and doing something about it. And that's why I talk about this. And that's why I became an evangelist around it. Because I knew in that moment when I looked at them in the mirror, I knew that I wasn't being fair to my husband because I wasn't fully there. I wasn't fully present. You know, I'd come home some nights and he'd say, oh, honey, don't cook tonight. You know, let's just go out for dinner. And I'd say, can you just order Thai food? Because I'm going to go in the other room and just I need some downtime, right? And I'll aimlessly, you know, surf on my iPad or watch TV.
Sure.
And he's wanting to go out and have a lovely dinner.
Right. Right.
But I can't because my mindset is still in the disengagement. I call it being stuck in a pit of quicksand.
Yeah.
Where you just can't get yourself out sometimes. That's pretty sad.
It is. You have some time to stick around with us here, Ruth?
Absolutely.
Okay. Folks, you're listening to The Profit Express. Today's guest, Ruth Ross. She's an engagement evangelist. Up next, we're going to talk about, are there particular jobs or industries that suffer higher levels of disengagement than others? Don't go anywhere. It's The Profit Express.